Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Everybody loves Jane Austen. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's advanced program. We are in the arts program, or the arts article today, and it is entitled For the Love of Jane Austen. And I know many of you out there are absolute fans of Jane Austen. We call ourselves Austenites. And today I have another Austenite in the studio with me today. It is Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca.
It's great to be here, and I will be talking with my usual accent, everybody, because I don't think I can hold an entire program in a British accent, but it's great to be here. I do love Jane Austen.
Yes, I didn't introduce myself earlier. I am Linda, but today I will be a little British because we are talking about Jane Austen, one of my favorite authors, and we want to share this love with you. We hope that you will enjoy this program today and tomorrow. Today is May 29th, and again, we are talking about For the Love of Jane Austen. The deck says Miss Austen TV series delivers the love and loss fans know by heart. And this TV series came out last year in 2025 and is entitled Miss Austen. Do you know about this series, Rebecca?
No. Honest truth is, I don't watch a whole lot of TV or Netflix at that these days. I just don't watch a lot. Like, YouTube keeps me very occupied.
But you are familiar with Austen's novels and all of the adaptations, I'm sure, because there are many of them. In the Austen universe.
Yes.
There are so many adaptations to her work and inspired works. But her main novels, she completed 6 novels during her lifetime. 3 of them were published after her death. And can you tell me which one of those is your favorite?
Linda, I have to be really honest. Out of all those novels, I've only read one from cover to cover. I read Pride and Prejudice in high school because Jane Austen's books are basically a standard in most high schools of using an American curriculum. You will read a Jane Austen work before you graduate. So I read Pride and Prejudice, I think it was in 10th or 11th grade, and her other books, I actually didn't read them, I have to be honest. But I saw, like, movie adaptations, mm-hmm, like, for example, mm-hmm, Sense and Sensibility, mm-hmm, or Emma. I mean, these are movies, perhaps, that I have seen. Maybe, dear listeners, you have seen them as well. Like, if you love movies, it's very likely you have seen some movies based on adaptations of Jane Austen's works.
I'm sure they have. And Austen's work, timeless. She wrote these more than 200 years ago, but they're still so popular, and new works continue to be made about her writing, such as this Miss Austen series, which came out last year. And I don't think her appeal will ever die.
Yes, I think as long as people long for romance, and also not just romance, also hold some feminist values about the rights of women or women's dilemmas between, mm-hmm, career and love, you know, and choices, I think there will always be a place for Jane Austen, even,
yes,
2050, 2070, and beyond. There,
yes,
will always be a place because these themes are so universal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is for anybody around the world.
Exactly. Her knowledge, her observations on love, on marriage, her social commentary, they are all still valid today.
Yes.
And so we'll never get tired of them.
Yes.
So, without further ado, let us hear our first reading now. For the Love of Jane Austen. Miss Austen TV series delivers the love and loss fans know by heart. Because Jane Austen's prose is so elegant and clear, her wit so sharp, her comedy so dry, her irony so delicious, her observation so acute, her heroines so indomitable, her novels have lived on for two centuries. They offer a vacation destination for the mind, a world in which to luxuriate, rich in characterization, compelling in their plots, fascinating in their social historicity, lively and lifelike in their dialogue. Her books, published beginning in 1811, have the quality of seeming both of and ahead of their time, and they are particularly ripe for adaptation to the screen. Many readers see in them the roots of modern romantic comedy. And because there are only 7 finished novels, 3 of them posthumous, and 1 never submitted for publication, and because we are a species that always wants more, the ACLU, the Austen Cinematic and Literary Universe, continues to expand with sequels, pastiches, modernizations, and reimaginings. Okay, I will return to my normal speaking voice and accent. That was a lot of information that we got, or background information about Jane Austen. And there's this beautiful description of her writing and her stories. It begins with, because Jane Austen's prose is so elegant and clear, and prose is what we call writing, normal writing, that is not poetry. So her writing is so elegant and clear, her wit so sharp, she's so witty, she's so clever. How is her comedy described?
Her comedy's so dry. So now this dry, what we mean is someone who can say funny things, but they look completely serious.
Yes.
Yeah. So we say that that person has a dry sense of humor. Mm-hmm. So Jane's comedy is dry.
Yeah. So someone's sense of humor is dry. They will tell you something that's really funny, but with a straight face, like in all seriousness. So that makes it even funnier sometimes. Her irony, so delicious. Her observations, I mentioned earlier, she was a good observer of life, of things, and she was able to put that into her writing and put that into words that were so easy to relate to and understand, right? So her heroines were so indomitable. And what does indomitable mean?
So something that is indomitable is something with a lot of courage, somebody with a lot of courage and determination. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we say an indomitable spirit, mm-hmm. a very courageous spirit,
right.
A spirit that never gives up.
Yeah, a spirit that can't be beaten, right,
yes.
Or not easily. They will keep pushing ahead. They won't be defeated that easily. Another word that comes to mind that her heroines would be, they never give up, is indefatigable. Like they can never be fatigued. They can never get tired. They're always going ahead. So because of all of these reasons, her novels have lived on for 2 centuries, for 200 years. Last year, we celebrated Jane Austen, the anniversary of her birth. It was her 250th anniversary of her birth because she was born in 1775. And she, yeah, her name is ubiquitous. Everyone knows of Jane Austen all around the world, and she's celebrated globally. So her novels offer a vacation destination for the mind. That's something that we're always longing for, isn't it, Rebecca?
Yes, a vacation for the mind and a world in which to, oh, what is this word?
Luxuriate.
Luxuriate. Yeah. This is interesting.
I'm sure you see another word, like another, the root of another word in there, luxury, right? So luxuriate means to relax and enjoy. So if you are in the lap of luxury, right, you are being able to enjoy and relax lovely things around you. Mm-hmm. So her novels give us a vacation for our mind, and allow us to just enjoy, to be able to relish in her works. So rich in characterization, compelling in their plots, meaning the storyline is very strong, is very gripping. Fascinating in their social historicity. And here we have this fancy word, but you see another word in there. History, well, right?
Yes.
And this just refers to the historical authenticity that is used or that is written about in her novels, right? The facts. It's fact-based for certain things. Lively and lifelike in their dialogue. Her books, published beginning in 1811, have the quality of what, Rebecca?
Well, seeming both of and ahead of their time. So it just means that the books are suitable for today, but for her time, but also they feel very modern in a way.
Yeah, we referenced her, the timelessness of her books in the intro. And that's something that is difficult to do. Like, you write something that's very relevant and valid for the time period that it's being written in, but it's also very relevant and valid for the future, the ahead of its time. So it's rare that novels can do both. And she was a rare author to be able to do this. They are particularly ripe for adaptation to this screen. And we've seen this in so many versions of her book and reimaginings of her book. We've seen movies on Sense and Sensibility, like Rebecca said earlier, Pride and Prejudice. There have been several versions of Pride and Prejudice, which are really good. I think, though, my all-time favorite is the BBC series with Jennifer Eale and Colin Firth. They were fantastic in that. And Colin Firth, who was the actor for Mr. Darcy, Helen Fielding, right, she saw him and used him as her main male role for Bridget Jones' Diary. And he even has the name Darcy in that novel.
Yes.
So that Pride and Prejudice inspired like all of the Bridget Jones's novels. I mean, all of her works have been made into adaptations, and the list keeps going on and on. There's so many things about Jane Austen that you can see and that you can read about. So many readers see in them the roots of modern romantic comedy. Again, so she was writing ahead of her time. So all of her plot lines, storylines can be used in romantic comedy. And there is, we'll see in the Austen universe what else is included in that. But we learned that there were only 7 finished novels, 3 of them posthumous, and 1 never submitted for publication. So the first one was Sense and Sensibility, and after that was Pride and Prejudice. And Mansfield Park, Emma, Persuasion, and Northanger Abbey. And the 7th one was actually unfinished at the time of her death, but was published later. And that one is Sanditon. And I feel a little ashamed as an Austenite that I didn't know about this unfinished novel. It's not until after seeing this series, Miss Austen, that I found out about Sanditon, and then I saw the TV series on it, so now I know all about it. But it's very much in the line of Jane Austen's novels, and her heroine in that too is also very indomitable and admirable. So posthumous just means after someone dies. These 3 novels were published after she died, and she died in 1817. So we as a species, we always want more, right? Especially if it's something that we love. And this is kind of humorous. The ACLU, which in the U.S., if you hear ACLU, you're going to think of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yes.
And their organization that defends people for if you fall in under a category of something that they defend, usually for something to do with liberties.
Race.
Yes,
right.
But it's a very broad category.
Right.
But
right.
They will defend you. So they are a legal organization. But here we're not talking about the legal organization. What are we talking about?
I'm actually amazed that Jane Austen even has this. I mean, she doesn't know she has this, but it's the Austen Cinematic and Literary Universe. And what that really means is It's basically the huge body of work that is inspired by Jane Austen.
Yes.
So these are the books, the adaptations, the TV shows, the Netflix series.
The short stories.
And they could be based directly from her novels, or it could be rewrites.
Right. Or just inspired.
Inspired. Mm-hmm. Or like one example you gave was the Bridget Jones Diary series, like very famous movies that many women love. And that was inspired. That is part of the ACLU.
Yes.
I didn't even know they had a term.
Well, I think it's more like a tongue-in-cheek sort of thing. But there is an Austen universe, a Jane Austen universe, just like there is a Marvel Comics universe with all of those superheroes. So it is just, it describes the vast collection of her works and works that have been inspired or adapted from her novels, right? And it includes so many things. Were you a fan of Clueless, the Clueless movie?
It's cute.
That was based off of Emma. So the director, the writer, she was a big fan of Jane Austen, like us all. And so she based that movie on Emma. And so it was a modern day like update of Emma, but it also was, it became classic, you know, among people of that time. It came out in 1995 and has been popular ever since. And there are also adaptations like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Mm-hmm. I don't like zombies, but I watched that movie and it was really good. Somehow they threw zombies into Pride and Prejudice and it worked. Yeah. So things like that, so many in the Austen universe. So it continues to expand with sequels, pastiches, modernizations, and reimaginings. So this word pastiche, what does it mean, Rebecca?
Pastiche. And it's basically a piece of writing, music, or film that is deliberately made in the style of something else.
Mm. So this would be made in the style of an Austen novel. Okay, so let's move on to hear about the letters that Jane Austen wrote. Austen's letters. Miss Austen, a wonderful limited series, takes a biographical fiction approach. Adapted by Andrea Gibb from Gil Hornby's 2020 novel, it centers on Jane's sister, Cassandra, whose historical claim to fame, or infamy, is that she burned the bulk of Jane's letters after her death. It has many of the qualities of an Austen novel, though having to adhere to the facts of actual lives does steer some plot lines in a darker direction. The series runs in two timelines, full of parallel action and mirrored themes. In 1830, 13 years after the death of Jane Austen, Cassandra gets a message that the husband of the sister's late friend Eliza Fowle is dying. Cassandra rushes to their home, partly out of friendship. She is as good as an aunt to Eliza's daughters, Isabella and Beth, who, like the Austens, seem to be on a road to spinsterhood, and partly to lay her hands on Jane's letters to Eliza, in order to keep safe from future historians whatever reflected badly on her sister. So we are getting more into the TV series that this article is about, Miss Austen. So it is a wonderful limited series that takes a biographical fiction approach. And something that is biographical fiction, it is made up, but there are facts in it. So it's based on actual things that happened in real life, but the author also takes liberty in embellishing or expounding or creating other parts to make it more interesting. And also, there are parts that we don't know. So the author will fill those in with their imagination. And we are the ones who benefit from it. So this novel is originally by Gil Hornby. It came out in 2022. And it was adapted to the screen by Andrea Gibb. And the novel centers around who, Rebecca?
It centers on Jane's sister, Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's talk more about Cassandra. Cassandra's claim to fame. Claim to fame is the thing that makes you famous.
Right. Yeah.
Another term for a claim to fame is just infamy.
Well, actually, or it could be either or, right? Mm. So your claim to fame is something, yeah, that makes you famous. And usually it's the one thing, right? One thing that makes you famous. And you may not do anything else after that that's notable. Or it could be infamy, right? It could be something that is more negative, right? Something that is infamous is more negative. So she could be famous for this thing, but in a negative way. And what was that thing?
Well, she burned most of Jane's letters after her death. So she burned the bulk of, or most of, Jane's letters after Jane died.
Yeah, so she could be infamous for that, right? Because, like, why would you do that? Why would you burn your famous author sister's letters and deprive people of reading more of her writings, right? Because she only wrote 6 completed novels and then 1 unfinished novel. So we could always use more Jane Austen writing in the world.
Well, but maybe her thinking is, I want to protect my sister's reputation because we don't know what was in those letters.
Exactly.
So a lot of times it's protection.
Yes.
It's out of sisterly concern. She wants people to have a certain image of Jane Austen. And she's afraid that the letters might not be according to her beautiful image.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point that the novel makes and the TV series makes, that Cassandra, who loved her sister so much, wanted to protect the memory and the image of her sister. She needed to maintain her reputation, right? And maybe what was in these letters could harm that reputation. And we know that Cassandra and Jane were very close. They had a big family. They came from a family of 8 children, but they were the only 2 daughters. They had 6 brothers, but they were the only 2 sisters. Mm-hmm. And so they became very close. They were close their whole lives, and neither of them got married. They were both unmarried till their death. And we learn a word to describe that, spinsterhood, right? Spinsterhood describes the state of an unmarried woman. And back then, when Jane and Cassandra lived during this Regency period, it was not a good thing to be a spinster. Even that word today has a negative connotation.
Sounds really negative. Sounds like an old woman knitting.
Yes.
I think of spinster, old woman knitting by the fire.
Yeah, with her cats, right?
Yes. 5 cats.
And so it still has a negative connotation. But back then, it was more dire if you didn't end up getting married. But we'll talk more about that. The series has many qualities of an Austen novel, and we'll also see that as we go along. But it did have to adhere. It did have to follow the facts of real life, right? Of actual lives. So it couldn't stray too far from real life, right? So that made some plot lines a little darker. And so the novel runs in 2 timelines, and it's full of parallel action and mirrored themes. So the first timeline is in what year?
Well, the first timeline is in 1830.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1830, this is 13 years after Jane Austen's death, Cassandra gets the message that her sister's late friend Eliza's husband is going to die.
Mm-hmm, right. So this first timeline in 1830 is their present timeline, the present timeline of the book. And this is Cassandra going to the house of her former friend, the Fowles. And the Fowles have a daughter named Isabella. And Cassandra goes to help her because her father has just died. And then she is going to lose her house because that's what happened back then. The inheritance or houses didn't get passed on to girls. But here, the father was minister. So the house would go to the next minister of the church. And then the second timeline what would take place maybe 30 years before, when Jane was still alive, when she and Cassandra were much younger, and there was still a possibility of getting married. And right now, Isabella is probably the age of Jane and Cassandra in the older timeline. So you'll see these mirrored themes, like things that Isabella is going through. Also, those are things that maybe Cassandra and Jane encountered. So, well, that is just the beginning of describing Miss Austen to you. There is so much more to talk about. We will definitely get into more and find out maybe why Cassandra burned Jane's letters. And we see in this last line that some indication of that, it was in order to keep safe from future historians whatever reflected badly on her sister. And I think a good sister would do that. We'll talk much more about sisterhood too. So stay tuned and come back tomorrow. For now, I'm Linda.
Rebecca.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.